Well, hello everyone, and welcome to Life Shifting with Dr. J. I'm Dr. Jeffrey Hull, and I am delighted to be back again here with you this week and every week on Life Shifting with Dr. J, hoping to help you let go of fear and get your life in gear. And I am going to continue the theme for this week that we kind of kicked off a couple of weeks ago around the idea of emotional balance and how to stay grounded and aligned in this rather tumultuous, turbulent time that we live in. I don't know about any of you out there listening, but if you've even turned on the news the last couple of weeks, it's been a very, very challenging time, I think, to stay grounded and to stay present and aligned. Whether you're in a leadership role or you're the, you know, leading a family or just trying to do your day-to-day job in the world, you know, we're hearing about turbulence in the Middle East that just gets more and more crazy every day. And of course, the horrible tragedy in Japan that, you know, we're all, I think, feeling, not just intellectually the impact of such a horrible natural disaster, but emotionally, just recognizing that these kind of things are happening more and more often in our world, and they're potentially impacting all of us and in ways that it just feels like so far beyond our control sometimes. So I know that I'm particularly feeling the effects of what's going on in the world, and I'm sure I'm not alone. And so I wanted to keep our theme for the last couple of weeks around emotional balance, staying aligned, and staying grounded in today's world alive for one more week. And those of you that have been listening for the last couple of weeks, you know that I've brought on a couple of wonderful experts. 2 weeks ago, we had Dr. Roy Martina, who's a holistic medical doctor. He spoke about his practices and principles of his new book, Emotional Balance, and gave us some tips that he uses in his medical practice for helping people to stay in alignment. And then last week, my expert guest, Ipek Serifsoy, who's been working as a leadership consultant and bringing in the latest theories around neuroscience and the balancing of the brain in a new way, you know, this whole idea of bringing together in alignment our understanding of the right brain and the left brain is really reaching new levels of awareness, and she has been bringing that into her practice with leaders. So we've had a couple of experts in the last couple of weeks, and what I wanted to do this week is perhaps step it up even one more notch by looking for a guest who's not only an expert in the area of leadership and executive presence and alignment and how to say stay spiritually grounded, but also practicing what he preaches. So I wanted to find somebody who's actually in a leadership role. And so for those of you out there listening today that are running companies or are in a position where you have a team under you or you're working in an organization where you have responsibility for other people, today's show is going to be hopefully very, very interesting for you, because my guest, and I feel very privileged to have him with us, is currently the CEO, the Chief Executive Officer of the Kripalu Center for Yoga and Health, which is one of the largest retreat centers in the United States. And Dr. David Surrenda is not only the CEO of the retreat center, the Kripalu, but he's also a licensed clinical psychologist. And he's been involved with the field of organizational development and leadership development for over 30 years, so he's worked extensively in the fields of team management and leadership development, executive coaching. And he's also a professor. He was the founder, the dean, and the curriculum director at the Graduate School of Holistic Studies at John F. Kennedy University for 9 years. So needless to say, Dr. Surrenda is an expert in the areas that we've been talking about in the last few years. And in his recent role as the CEO of Kripalu, he's being called upon So I'd say, you know, bring his expertise into the real world in terms of running an organization. And so I'm very, very excited to have him with us. Before we bring Dr. Surrenda on, I want to remind you how you can get in touch with us if you'd like to join in. If you're, if you have a comment or you have a question, we'd love to hear from you. You can go online on www.transformationtalkradio.com, and on the homepage, if you just scroll down about halfway, you'll see a little box where you can send us an instant message, and I will be able to hear from you immediately. You're also welcome to give us a call. We're available at 1-800-930-2819. That's 1-800-930-2819, and we are thrilled to always hear from you and get your input and your ideas and your questions. So I want to get right to it with my guest today, Dr. Surrenda, who's also, I meant to mention, the author of a very exciting book on leadership called Retooling on the Run, Real Change for Leaders with No Time. I have to say I love this title. And so we're definitely going to dig into some of his ideas and principles for how to stay in motion for leaders with no time, which I think sort of talks to just about all of us these days. So I'm very excited to have David with us. Doctor, are you there?
I am, Jeff. Nice. Thank you for the kind introduction. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. I'm really excited. I think that you know, I'm always aware of the synchronicity in finding wonderful guests for my show. And as I was saying, I've had some great experts on in the last couple of weeks that have talked about their books and about their research in areas that impact, I think, all of us in terms of holistic health, in terms of the latest principles in leadership development. And but I was really excited that you were available to come and talk with us because you're in that unique position of having to actually put the walk to the talk, as they say, and and you're bringing together some very interesting dynamics, because not only are you operating as a CEO, so running an organization, but it's not just an everyday organization. It's one of the largest retreat centers in the country. It's very, very much a leading edge organization. I've had the privilege of being there, and I've done some of my own yoga work at Kripalu. It's a beautiful and wonderful place. And so I am thrilled. We're going to have a great conversation. I guess maybe the best way to kick it off, David, would be for you to give us your perspective on, you know, just as I was saying at the opening of the show, it's certainly a tumultuous time for anyone right now. And I think that, you know, as you look around at your organization and the kinds of challenges that you face, what is top of mind for you as a leader?
Mm-hmm. It's a great question, because there's a lot of different ways to slice that question. And one of the things, I was just actually having lunch with a series of the political leaders in this geography, and we were talking about the fact that they couldn't get cell phone reception where we were. Huh. And I laughed, and I said to them, you know, when my grandmother told me the stories of coming to the United States in the early 1900s, and she told me about what it was like growing up in America, and she told me she remembered how excited they were when electricity came, and how, you know, people would talk about where it was spreading around the city, where she was in New York at that time, and how they could see more and more places being lit. And we have we're in the middle of an extraordinary period of change where, you know, electricity for all of us is just ubiquitous. It's a utility that's just there. And, of course, we have a change that's happening right now, just your show being an example of it, where we're able to spread out through the Internet and have global communications in a way that was never possible before. So we're in the midst of fundamental communications change, which is shifting what's possible in the economics of America. Shifting it in ways that are both scary and exciting, because if you're able to understand and be with that change, then what happens is you can see opportunities that were never there before. On the other hand, if you're threatened and frightened of that change, then it just is not an opportunity, but a sense of being undermined. And I think you probably remember the author Peter Vail probably about 20 years ago, he had said we had, in our culture, had hit the place of being in a sense of permanent whitewater.
Yeah,
as a
river rafter,
you know, myself and somebody who likes to go down those big whitewater rivers every summer with my children and grandchildren, my wife, what happens is that whitewater is that period of, as you know, constant churn. It's that place where there's incredible excitement and fun, and we buy it literally as summer, you know, boaters. But
right.
The other side of it is there's that possibility of being dumped and being thrown into that churn and the turbulence and the uncertainty. And I think the big shift has been that we now recognize what the Greeks probably said to us a few thousand years ago, with that change, as distressing as it is inevitable, and it's the one constant in life.
Right.
But we had this period of illusion where it would look like things were just going to be quite stable and stasis, whether it be at a earthquake level, you know, where we thought it was a long period of stasis, or whether we think about it in terms of a cultural economics. We, in fact, know now that probably what we were told a long time ago, the one thing you can count on are death and taxes and change.
Right.
So, you know, so we have a very difficult period clearly happening. But I, again, just in reflecting with perspective, and I think this is an important part in looking at change, because it allows you to keep your own emotional ground. I remember my mother telling me, and this is, again, I'm using more perspective here. My mother was born in 23. And she told me how she grew up basically at the beginning of the Great Depression and how she lived through the 30s in that depression until World War II came. So her memory from sort of 7 years old or 6 or 7 years old through the next 15 years into her early 20s was the Great Depression and World War II.
Wow.
Profound, yeah. Profound thing to have perspective on, because then you think,
right.
Here she was as a child growing up through that window. And, of course, you can imagine what children in Japan must be experiencing now, you know, the uncertainty and the disruption.
But yeah.
We have always had periods of times of profound change, and it's our ability to be resilient in the midst of that that allows us to be able to go forward and to have enough perspective about it.
Right.
There are going to be
changes. Yeah,
I love
what you're saying. I mean, I think that this idea of resilience and how to build resilience not only into our emotional, our physical, our spiritual, and our mental being is really key to being effective leaders in today's world. I think that we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I want to hear more about how you at a place like Kripalu are actually doing that for yourself and also for all the wonderful people that come to Kripalu. So I think it's a perfect place to dive in to, you know, how to stay grounded in this turbulent time and to get perspective. So we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Life Shifting with Dr. J, and I am with Dr. David Surrenda, the CEO of Kripalu Center for Yoga and Health, and we will be right back.
Life Shifting with Dr. J is a show about living full out and helping listeners to banish their fears, embrace their dreams, and move with greater ease through the ups and downs of our crazy world. Dr. J's Life Shifting method is all about reinventing and renewing ourselves throughout our lives. Dr. J will have a wide array of entertaining, insightful, and highly credentialed guests who will inspire us with stories of their own life shifts. Listeners will wake up, listen deeply, and reflect about their own lives, and are encouraged to call in and get live coaching from Dr. J and his expert guests who are passionate about helping people reclaim lost vitality. Life Shifting with Dr. J is about heartfelt dialogue, amazing life stories, personal struggles of highly successful people, their journeys, their ups and downs, and their triumphs. Listen in to Life Shifting with Dr. J on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You'll be inspired and moved to step up to your growing edge and shift your life into high gear. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for the complete show schedule.
In the last 30 years, over 1 million people have gone from busy and a bit overweight to busy enjoying life, having lost weight using MetaFast products. The Take Shape for Life program has taken that success of MetaFast meals even further with a free certified health coach and a realistic and simple plan. You're not fixing a problem. You're on a journey to optimal health. Learn more, talk to a health coach, and hear their story of success. Call 877-520-SIMPLE. That's 877-520-SIMPLE. Results will vary. Talk to your doctor before starting program. Call for details.
Remember, for our dogs and cats to live long and happy lives, just like people, they are what they eat. Wellness Carefully selects wholesome ingredients to create food you can trust to provide the foundation of your pet's well-being. True wellness means every ingredient has a purpose in every recipe they make. You can trust the quality of all ingredients in Wellness from their source to your pet's bowl. Visit wellnesspetfood.com to find a pet specialty retailer near you. Wellness Natural Food for Pets. This is where true wellness begins.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Life Shifting with Dr. J. I am Dr. Jeffrey Hull, and I am in dialogue today with Dr. David Surrenda, who is the CEO of the amazing Kripalu Center for Yoga and Health up in Western Massachusetts. And if you haven't heard of Kripalu, stick with us, because by the end of the show, we're going to spend a few minutes talking about this wonderful place for retreat, for meditation, for yoga, and basically holistic health, which I think, is really, at the end of the day, what we've been talking about on my show for the last few weeks. So this center is all about kind of reclaiming our emotional balance. And I'm just really excited to have an individual who's not only an expert in leadership and an expert in holistic health and has worked in business for many, many years, but is also currently the CEO of the organization. So David has a number of different themes and areas that he can bring to bear on our conversation today. I want to remind my listeners that if you'd like to jump in or send a comment, you can do that at transformationtalkradio.com, where we take instant feedback and questions. And you can also call in at 1-800-930-2819. So, David, just before the break, you mentioned what I think of as kind of a key word for today's leaders mm-hmm. to reflect on, which is resilience. And I'd love to have you speak a little bit more about that and talk about the kinds of principles and practices that you in particular, given your role, find helpful. I mean, you know, I have to just assume that you have to be in some ways practicing what you preach as the CEO of Kripalu Institute. So talk to us a little bit about your philosophy about that.
It's a long journey, first of all. I mean, you know, the learning process around finding the practices that work for any individual are rarely something they get the first time out of the box.
Right.
I was trying to describe this in a metaphor to somebody the other day, which is, you know, it's kind of like hitting a golf ball. Sometimes you hit it down the middle of the road, middle of the fairway, and sometimes you hit it in the woods. And if you hit it in the woods, you know, you've got to recover and get back on the fairway. And the question for each person is, how do they recover, you know? And how do they maximize their speed to recovery? How do they regain their balance as quickly as possible? Because, you know, as we know, everyone's going to lose it at some point. Everyone's going to have something that's going to push their button or knock them off course. And it's when we lose it, it's what we do is the difference between going forward and giving up or going forward and deciding we can't respond adequately. So we want to, if you end up caught in the woods or trapped in an unhealthy relationship or reacting continually to something in a negative fashion where you need to find a way to get back down the middle of the fairway, you know, the longer you hang out there in that caught place, it really exacerbates both your efficiency and it creates additional emotional challenges. So the challenge for every one of us is to learn to get back on course when life inevitably pushes us off. And it's that capacity to weather change, to spring back, to recover, which is the essence of change resilience.
And in particular, it's difficult when you're the leader, though, you know, the unique perspective that you, for example, bring right. to your situation is that so many people look to you to not ever get knocked off, right?
Right, right. So the thing that you learn, I've watched some of the really great leaders, and people say, well, you don't look like you ever get pushed off course. You don't look like you ever get reactive. You know, what I've heard those leaders say is, I react, but I also recover very quickly.
Mm.
In other words, my reaction is something I'm managing, I'm having. I'm not unconscious to my reaction, but I'm experiencing it in such a way that my internal recovery mechanisms are also strong. Much like what would happen is, you know, when somebody's boxing or in a martial arts, you know, competition, they get knocked off course, and you can
right.
see it visually, but then they do have to recover and get back in balance to be able to continue their engagement with the other party. Now, different leaders have different philosophies about how much it's worth showing that kind of vulnerability and that kind of visible being knocked off course. For some organizations, they make the case that it's very valuable to help the leader, so let the leader be human.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Other places, they make the case that you want to see that leader standing sort of like the George Washington image at the going across the river on the boat in that old 17th century picture, kind of looking forward, chin thrust
right.
the right way, and looking like there's nothing could fear them no matter how many bullets were flying.
I think that's also the issue with leaders being called upon, especially in the political arena, but you see this in organizations too, and that people clamor for more transparency.
Yes.
But this word transparency can be a double-edged sword to what you're saying too, because the more transparent you are as a leader, the more you may be called upon to actually show that, you know, to demonstrate or be open about the fact that you may not always have all the answers and that you may sometimes be reactive. So it's not an easy play. It's not an easy balance to strike, I would imagine.
In a world perhaps where if everybody treated you like your family treated you, where you could be transparent and they love you anyway,
yeah,
probably not an issue. On the other hand, in most of the political world, you're transparent and they'd be writing about it forever in column after column, nationally and internationally. And so
right.
it gives a very strong message to the leaders that if they really are very transparent, it's problematic for them.
Mm.
Very few of them survive showing high degrees of vulnerability because you just eventually, people turn that into, you know, political fodder and they take advantage of it.
Right.
The real key here is actually the opening line from the Retooling on the Run book, which is, you know, you're the first organization that you have to master. I mean, essentially self-mastery becomes before really organizational leadership and mastery. The most effective leaders are those who are continually working on themselves, who are building the inner strength and inner core capacity to not get stuck in patterns, but to keep on unwinding the patterns and create greater versatility. And which means you have to be a really good student of your mind, of your body, of your ethics, of your speech, of your relationships. And so the thing that makes leaders leaders is not just their courage to go out on the edge, you know, and stand there at the end of the boat with the tiller, but their capacity to demonstrate that they really are great students. You know, great self-observers, great observers of their own nature as well as others' nature, and are able to enter into those engagements in ways that are consistent with principles and practices of best interaction with somebody. So it's not just strength and survival of the fittest, it's the capacity to be able to adjust and relate and change with the times. Because sometimes, you know, like in any organizational cycle, there'll be a leader who's good for one stage, and the next stage comes, and they're not capable of meeting the challenges of the time. So a classic example would be this. You have a startup company, and let's take Steve Jobs. That's an interesting one to look at. And I was there, near the end of Jobs' first cycle, and Jobs did an amazing thing with Steve Wozniak, bringing Apple from a startup into this amazing company. And then by the time they got to 1985 or 6, whatever year that was, and they brought in John Sculley, there was this incredible challenge where the organization was trying to go to the next level, get more discipline, more institutional, more processes, more procedures. And Jobs was really an entrepreneur. And so the board decided that he wasn't the right person for that job. And they pushed him out. Of course, it was 8 or 9 years later where he was able to, having been in exile for that period of time, learned incredibly skillful things and other technologies and exposed to other stuff, and came back essentially as the leader one more time.
Right.
Or self-development internally. And so we see that there are times that a leader is great for an organization, and sometimes they run into the end of their own growth cycle and they can't take it to the next level. And that's the challenge, which is sometimes your organization will grow faster than you will.
That's a really, really interesting point. I think what you're also pointing to is that the paradox that when you're in a leadership role, in some cases, the last thing you want to do is have to acknowledge that perhaps you're not the right guy or the right woman in the right place at the right time.
Exactly. It's a very difficult thing to do, and something that, acknowledges that you may not be changing as fast as the challenges. And you think you're going to do it, but other people can see from the outside that you're not up for it, not because of your will, but because of your skill. And you may have had the capacity and the perfect skill set to take them to one level, and now the challenge is more complex, is more global, is more national or international, whatever it might be. And they look at you as having not had, as if you're going to learn on their nickel rather than somebody who brings experience to that process.
Right.
And so it becomes a challenge. And the more complex and different it is, the more you're facing the question of how do you gain that knowledge in an area where you may be really not as skilled.
Yeah, I think that what you're pointing to also is this need to, whether you're in a leadership role in an organization or whether you're just trying to lead your life, as you said, to be a student and to be open to feedback. It's like being more awake to the constant feedback loop that we have from the world around what we're doing well, where we can grow, and not necessarily seeing the things that we need to work on as failures or places for heavy-duty self-criticism, but as opportunities.
Exactly. And practices like yoga and practices like meditation and mindfulness begin to train the mind, train the body, train attention so that you can actually see where you are.
Right.
The whole reason for doing a practice like yoga is to help you learn how to balance and watch the way in which the mind and the body handle going to the edge.
Yeah, I love that. And let's hold that thought and we take another quick break, because when we come back, I definitely want to dive into these practices so we can really kind of break through any barriers or judgments that people may have around what are considered sort of, out there kinds of practices, and see how they really do connect to what's important for this next generation of leaders if you want to be effective in today's world. So you are listening to Dr. Jeffrey Hull and Life Shifting with Dr. J. I have Dr. David Surrenda in the house, the CEO of the Kripalu Center for Yoga and Health. Stick with us and we will be right back.
Life Shifting with Dr. J is a show about living full out and helping listeners to banish their fears, embrace their dreams, and move with greater ease through the ups and downs of our crazy world. Dr. J's Life Shifting method is all about reinventing and renewing ourselves throughout our lives. Dr. J will have a wide array of entertaining, insightful, and highly credentialed guests who will inspire us with stories of their own life shifts. Listeners will wake up, listen deeply, and reflect about their own lives, and are encouraged to call in and get live coaching from Dr. J and his expert guests who are passionate about helping people reclaim lost vitality. Life Shifting with Dr. J is about heartfelt dialogue, amazing life stories, personal struggles of highly successful people, their journeys, their ups and downs, and their triumphs. Listen in to Life Shifting with Dr. J on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You'll be inspired and moved to step up to your growing edge and shift your life into high gear. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for the complete show schedule.
Do you ever get so frazzled you find it difficult to function? Many people are experiencing more stress and fear than ever. When we react from this place of fear and stress, we end up damaging relationships and creating more grief in our lives. Lynette McKenzie has a solution for you. The Energy Emergency Toolkit. 10 easy tools to go from frazzled to fantastic in 5 minutes. Visit OpenLiveNow.com and download your free Energy Emergency Toolkit and go from frazzled to fantastic now.
Remember, for our dogs and cats to live long and happy lives just like people, they are what they eat. Wellness Carefully selects wholesome ingredients to create food you can trust to provide the foundation of your pet's well-being. True wellness means every ingredient has a purpose in every recipe they make. You can trust the quality of all ingredients in wellness from their source to your pet's bowl. Visit wellnesspetfood.com to find a pet specialty retailer near you. Wellness Natural Food for Pets. This is where true wellness begins.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have. Cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't just take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you're hurt. We want to help. We're so sure Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want pain relief with no side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Bi-Mart, New Seasons, and other fine health food stores and co-ops. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store nearest you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Life Shifting with Dr. J, and I am Dr. Jeffrey Hull, and I am in dialogue today with Dr. David Surrenda, who is the CEO of the Kripalu Center for Yoga and Health, one of the largest yoga and holistic health retreat centers in the United States. And just during the break, David and I were chatting about the challenge that we all face in the leadership realm of kind of breaking through some of our paradigms that we may have around some of the practices that, you know, on the one hand, we know intuitively that things like yoga and meditation are really powerful ways to bring us present, to help us with emotional balance, to help us with this idea of tracking ourselves and studying ourselves, as David was talking about during, before the break. But I think that it's particularly challenging in business organizations. We were talking about doctors and lawyers. And so I was asking David, and I'd love to have you share with listeners a little bit about your perspective on how to create this conversation with leaders and executives that, you know, they know they need to learn. They know they need to get more resilient and more effective with the change kind of environment that we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not always easy to find access to this conversation. And people will say, yeah, yoga's great, but I don't have time for that or whatever, you know, whatever their resistance is. So given that you're an expert in this area and that you're running a center for this kind of thing, what do you recommend for people in that situation?
Well, I think there's an analogy that every leader of an organization recognizes. In other words, when they're running an organization, there's a continuous process by which they set organizational goals. They then track various performance things, and you know, like whether it be financial or sales or whatever it might be. And then they stay very vigilant as to when they're off course, and they try and course correct, and they try and continually evaluate. And that process, which is that essential simple cycle of tracking an organization, actually is metaphorically the same issue we face when we're trying to learn as individuals. in some ways, almost every leader is interested in the question of self-mastery. They don't always phrase it that way, but they want to be better because they know the challenges keep changing. And so the steps, I think, are fivefold, and I think they're very straightforward. And if those principles, those five steps, are understood, then it allows you to begin to map into your own life the key elements of how do you actually move to the next level. So let me articulate them as clearly as I can.
Great.
I've looked at these over decades of trying to sort out and make simple enough models that everyone, whether they be a senior executive or whether they be a child in school, can actually apply these. And the principles work as first. First, you have to be able to set a clear target or goal for yourself, a clear direction. Now, it's not always a very specific thing like I want to get X. Sometimes it's a direction like I want to get more educated. You know, I want to have graduate degrees in such and such a field. But establishing a target allows each person to know what they're after. If you don't know what you're after, you don't know what your intention is at that level, it's very hard to achieve it. You can get there by accident sometimes, but more often than not, setting the goal and having a time to give yourself to reflect on it, because that goal at some level, if you really look deep at it, reflects your deepest values. It reflects the thing you think are most important. If you want to be an educator, you know, if you want to be a teacher, then you need to be able to study an education. If you want to, if economic wealth and security is a critical thing, you may be looking for things that allow you to generate that. But each person tends to set their targets, their goals in relationship to the things they value most. So step one is really to set the goals. And step two is to actually try to map out those patterns that are interfering with you achieving those goals. Now, some of those might be behavioral patterns. Some of those might be cognitive patterns, the way you think. Some of those might be emotional patterns, the way you react. Now, this is analogous to what happens when you go into the hospital. You go to the hospital, and they do a series of diagnostics where they're trying to find what your heart rate is and your blood pressure and what your, you know, your blood chemistry is about, because they're looking at the pattern because it's revealing something in its data about the state of how you are. Unfortunately, you can't quite get that in the same way, except maybe through biofeedback as an individual. But you as a person can look at where it is your thinking patterns get stuck. You know, where it is you tend to always get reactive. Where it is you lash out when you could listen. So that you can begin to see which patterns are getting in your way. So let's take a simple example. So somebody says they want to, the goal is they want to lose weight. 35% of the country is obese right now.
Right.
65% of the country says they think they should lose weight, and over 50% think they need to lose more than 10 pounds, a very common reported point. So somebody says, let's see, I'm going to map my pattern of what's happening for me. Well, I notice that every night I at 10 o'clock at night, I run to the refrigerator and I eat a quart of ice cream, whatever, the pint of ice cream. Let's make it a little bit better. Pint of ice cream.
Hopefully not a quart
night
of ice
of the week. So there's the pattern, you know. And with it, they have a couple of chocolate chip cookies just to down it, mix the flavor.
Yeah.
So now there they are in that pattern. They've recognized that 9:45 they start, their body starts feeling hungry. At, you know, 9:55 they start thinking about the ice cream, which they bought earlier in the evening for themselves just in case this moment happened. And sure enough, at 10:00 they're in there doing that. Now, if you're really going to change what you do, the part of you that is vigilant, the watcher, has to pop up at that point and say, whoops, here I am opening that ice cream. Am I going to get my, you know, spoon and stick it in there, or am I going to stop? And the challenge each person faces is when that arising occurs, when that possibility for vigilance or waking up occurs, they have a fundamental choice.
Right.
And the choice is either at that point to either continue the pattern, you know, that impulse that's already grabbing them, in which case they then feel the shame and difficulty a few hours later, or their stomach ache a few hours later, or they have a substitute, something that allows them to self-correct. So it's that self-correction, that counterbalancing of that initial impulse, which allows people to move toward the target they set and not toward the pattern. The fundamental battle that each person raises is the question of, do I achieve my goals or do I get limited by my patterns? And that choice exists organizationally when people try and be creative, and it exists individually, and it exists in teams as well. Do our goals, our intentions, our drives, our hopes, our aspirations, our targets set where we go? Or is it the patterns and the dysfunctions and the confusion and the misthinking and confused feeling that sets it? So
yeah.
Essentially we have to,
No, I'm just reflecting. Then we're going to need to take our last break. But I think that you're really onto something here, because it seems to me I'm dying to hear what your last three steps will be, which we'll get right after the break. But this idea of shifting the mind to becoming the observer of your own patterns, I think is really, really crucial. I mean, it sort of gets to the heart in my mind of everything we've talked about in terms of being a student, developing resilience. There is always a moment when you have to be willing to shift your perspective from one who just acts to one who observes yourself in some form or another. So, I mean, I love
that.
It's
the heart of learning.
It's the heart of learning. It's also the hardest part, I think, for a lot of people, which is why, and we'll talk about this after the break, why things like meditation and yoga, which really give us the access to becoming an observer of ourselves, are so crucial in building that muscle of observing. So we're going to take our last break. I can't wait to hear the last three steps, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes. You're listening to Life Shifting with Dr. J.
Life Shifting with Dr. J is a show about living full out and helping listeners to banish their fears, embrace their dreams, and move with greater ease through the ups and downs of our crazy world. Dr. J's Life Shifting method is all about reinventing and renewing ourselves throughout our lives. Dr. J will have a wide array of entertaining, insightful, and highly credentialed guests who will inspire us with stories of their own life shifts. Listeners will wake up, listen deeply, and reflect about their own lives, and are encouraged to call in and get live coaching from Dr. J and his expert guests who are passionate about helping people reclaim lost vitality. Life Shifting with Dr. J is about heartfelt dialogue, amazing life stories, personal struggles of highly successful people, their journeys, their ups and downs, and their triumphs. Listen in to Life Shifting with Dr. J on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You'll be inspired and moved to step up to your growing edge and shift your life into high gear. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for the complete show schedule.
Are you tired of being tired? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know the adrenal glands, the workhorse of the body? They are the means by which you position yourself in life for whatever comes your way. Tiny but mighty, producing hormones the body uses to promote energy and vitality. These adrenals determine how you respond to stress, and when depleted, the body loses its ability to function powerfully when we need it most. The much-needed adrenaline or epinephrine is not available for emergency situations. Cortisone and cortisol, the longer-acting anti-stress adrenal hormones, can also become depleted due to the pace of our everyday lives. We overwork and undernutrition our most powerful ally that helps us to live the lives we desire. With CRA, we are able to determine the optimum function of the adrenals and put your system back in balance. Contact us today to feel powerfully energized at 888-777-4232. Or visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
After a 15-year search for a truly delicious, healthy, easy-to-prepare organic meal, Savitri and Adil Pakivala founded Eastern Essence. They set out to do what their friends and business acquaintances thought impossible, to produce delicious, healthy, vital food grown in harmony with nature and to promote organic farming in India. Happy food, happy people, happy planet. For more information, go to EasternEssence.com. That's EasternEssence.com.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Life Shifting with Dr. J. And if you've just joined us, you are about to have a treat, even in the last few minutes, because I have Dr. David Surrenda here, the CEO of the Kripalu Center for Yoga and Health. And he is giving us his theme around self-mastery. We're talking about how to stay resilient, how to stay grounded, and basically be in a growth mode even during turbulent and difficult times, kind of like the ones we're facing right now in our world. And David was just sharing with us kind of the five steps or principles that he turns to around this theme that he's calling self-mastery. And David, I'm just going to jump right in so you can keep going. You had talked about targeting and about what you're calling mapping the pattern, which I think is really profound. So keep going.
So the first part, as you said, is setting the goal so that you know where you want to go. Secondly is really being a good detective and mapping your own ineffective patterns.
Right.
The third step is that moment of being vigilant when the pattern begins to arise. So, like, do you catch yourself in awareness after you've eaten the ice cream or as you're opening the box? Or do you catch it 20 minutes later when your stomach's hurting? The question about where your awareness begins to kick in is a critical one. So when you become more and more skilled, your awareness begins to move into action earlier and earlier rather than after you've already done the bad thing. So rather than becoming aware 20 minutes after you've eaten the ice cream, you become aware as you're getting out of your bed heading toward the freezer and saying, what am I doing? You get to wrestle with that. Mm. You get to be vigilant about when those patterns are arising.
Right.
But the real act of power and the real act of empowerment is the next step, which is course correction or counterbalance.
Okay.
Which means to essentially take an action that heads you back toward your goal or objective of losing weight rather than your pattern of falling into misbehaving in terms of eating more ice cream and making yourself fatter.
Mm.
It is that self-correction that essentially builds that sense of core strength that I can choose healthier actions as opposed to being seduced and pulled into the pattern of my old action.
And that's where you build the recovery time that we talked about earlier too,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. So when you can, it shortens that whole process up. You get back on course much faster rather
right.
than eating another thing and then being another pound heavier or another 5 pounds heavier. And you know, as we all know, health and weight and those kind of issues are not really. Information problems. It's not a science problem. It's a consciousness problem. It's a behavioral
right.
issue. You know, we're not lacking for science. We all know what to do, but we don't follow through with it, whether it's obesity or smoking or diabetes or all the ways in which people get off course.
Yeah.
And the final step is just in the same way that businesses do it, you evaluate your progress to your goals in a very systematic way, which is you track your results, just like when people track their financial outcomes. In our personal lives, we check whether we, lost that weight or, reduced that cholesterol count or whatever it is that we're particularly tracking.
Mm-hmm.
So these five principles of setting your goals, mapping your ineffective patterns, activating your vigilance when the patterns are arising, self-correction, counterbalancing, and evaluating your progress are the principles that apply to any change system, any change mastery process. So when you look at 50 textbooks, you'll still find those same principles show up again and again and again because they're about the most efficient way that one can begin to explore and map out in a larger sense how to make that change. At Kripalu, what we try and do is we help people do that through certain tools. You know, Kripalu, which is the largest health and yoga center in the United States, 30,000 people a year come here.
Wow. That's
we
amazing.
Offer 800 programs. We give people a variety of things in both holistic health strategies, things having to do with nutrition and proper eating and detox, in spirituality, in self-awareness, in self-development. These are all different tools that are meant to assist people in the practice of both clarifying what their goals are and helping notice where those ineffective patterns are so they can begin to make an active plan in their lives to be vigilant when those patterns arise. And to choose really toward their goals and values and not toward their pattern. What disturbs people so much, and every one of us go through this, is when our patterns win, we feel like we lose.
Mm. Yeah, I was going to ask you about self-criticism because I think that's one of the biggest stumbling blocks that we get into right around number two and number three.
Exactly. Because we're sure we feel ashamed and we feel despair. And then yet we still have the courage to get up the next day and say, I'm going to do it right. I'm not going to eat that bad food, or I'm not going to drink that drink or smoke those cigarettes or yell at my children or whatever it is that's happening. But the truth of it is people need help and they need tools. And the more tools or the more allies you have so that you're not doing it by yourself, the less afraid you are, the less afraid you are and the more capable you are of turning toward resources for assistance. And that could be your partner. It could be your teacher. It could be your yoga teacher. You know, it could be the resources you read. But I really encourage everybody to not feel isolated in that process, but to work with others so that they actually have allies in the process. It's really tough to do it by yourself.
No, I totally appreciate that. And I'm so thrilled that you took the time to join us and to kind of walk us through what you consider to be the key steps, the key principles for building that, what I'm going to call the muscle of resiliency that we all need as leaders today. I want to thank you. We're going to wrap up, and I just want to make sure that we give out information for people to contact Kripalu. So it's the best place is probably the website, right?
Yeah, the website is kripalu.org, K-R-I-P-A-L-U.org, K-R-I-P-A-L-U.org.
That's
the phone is 800-741-7353.
And we have a rich
offering of programs to look at, and it's a lot of fun to share them. It's a tremendous sampling. It's like looking at a giant smorgasbord of opportunity.
That's great. Well, I can speak from experience. It's a wonderful, wonderful place. I hope everyone listening out there will turn to a place like that for support, because that's exactly why those kinds of places exist. So I am honored and thrilled that you took the time to talk to me today. I want to wish you the best of luck at continuing to grow both yourself as a leader, David, and also this wonderful place called Kripalu. I look forward to seeing you there soon.
Thank you so much, Jeff. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you and your audience today.
Thank you. All right, everyone. It's been great having you together. 1 week from now, I will be talking to another wonderful executive coach with another great topics about shifting your life into high gear. So join me again next Monday at 5:00 Eastern Time and anytime on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Have a great week, everyone. Good night.